pack of beer or finishing off that cigarette may all seem like manly things. However, many of the vices we have take a significant toll on our cardiovascular health. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, the leading cause of death by age groups, races, and ethnicities of males in the United States is heart disease, coming in at a staggering 24.6% of all deaths among males. It holds no discrimination in accounting for one out of every four men's death each year. These figures can improve, but only if men take action in changing their own behaviors and lifestyle habits. Saturated fats have long been linked to heart disease. Unfortunately, according to the American Heart Association, AHA, red meats, which include beef, pork, and lamb, have higher concentrations of saturated fats compared to other forms of protein. However, for the average West Texan male, it may prove more difficult to eat less of it because beef is the primary source of protein in our neck of the Mesquites. Consuming red meat is a choice, and modifying your diet doesn't mean giving it up entirely. Instead of eating red meat daily, opt to incorporate other sources of protein in its place. Examples include fish, especially those high in omega-3 such as salmon and trout, chicken, and beans or lentils. Buffalo is also an excellent option, as it has a similar flavor profile as beef, but considerably less saturated fat and packed with heart-healthy omega-3 acids. Being king of your castle comes with benefits, most notably the master of the television remote. But when the mastery of channel selection turns into a 12-hour-long couch fest watching football, your body and metabolism slows to a near halt. Most often, men who struggle with obesity, diabetes, or cardiovascular disease also have a sedentary lifestyle. Finding ways to battle physical inactivity is easy. Adding extra steps and activities throughout your day can yield positive results, even during weekend football binges. Consider doing things less efficiently, such as getting up off the couch to change the channel, taking a walk at halftime, or finish chores around the house. As a guideline, most men need at least 2.5 hours of moderate intensity activity, like brisk walking, each week, plus a couple days of muscle strengthening activities to yield heart healthy benefits. Men are more likely to drink excessively than women and thus have more health problems attributed to the abuse of alcohol. Excessive alcohol consumption comes in different forms, including binge drinking, 5 or more drinks on one occasion, heavy drinking, consuming 15 or more drinks per week, and any alcohol use of men under the age of 21. Limiting your alcohol to no more than 1 to 2 drinks per day is important. Anything more than that reverses any positive effects or benefits moderate alcohol consumption may have. If you're kicking back cold ones with friends, your best bet is to limit yourself to 2 drinks and supplement with water in between your beer, wine, or cocktail of choice. Lastly, eliminating tobacco use is the single most effective way to prevent disease and illness. Regardless if you smoke occasionally, identify as a social smoker, or proudly wear the badge as a chain smoker, tobacco use has a cumulative effect on the cardiovascular system. When you smoke, both your blood pressure and heart rate increase. Also, the carbon monoxide inhaled from the tobacco smoke binds to red blood cells faster than oxygen can, leaving tissues and organs deprived and damaged from the lack of oxygen they need to flourish. These three things alone place a tremendous strain on the cardiovascular system, which over time can worsen by way of hardened arterial walls, making it easier for fatty plaque to build up and eventually lead to a heart attack and or stroke. The best way to address tobacco use is to quit entirely. There's just no safe way it can be used. Aside from being the husbands, fathers, and sons our family expects us to be, they also expect us to be around as long as we can. Heart disease is a very serious issue, and one we as men should not take lightly. There are risk factors we can control, and control them we must. Cilantro is cool season crop, West Texas favorite, by Debbie Rowland, Master Gardener. Cilantro is a popular spice in West Texas since it is widely used in Mexican food. People either love it, my husband and me, or they can't stand it, my daughter. Most people who don't like it say that it tastes like soap to them. September will be time for the second planting of cilantro this year. Since it is a cool season crop that does best in temperatures between 50 and 85 degrees, your first planting should have been in February for April harvest. The September planting will be ready to begin harvesting in November. Weekly succession planting will ensure you have a continuing crop. There are three varieties of this plant: long-standing, leisure, and slow bolt. The fresh green leaves are used in many dishes, including Mexican and Thai food, and are a great addition to salads, soups, and salsa. When the plants bolt, the seeds are referred to as coriander, which has a flavor similar to an orange. Coriander adds flavor to cooked fruit, pastries, and pickling spice. Cilantro needs a well-drained, fertile loam soil. Plant the seeds 1/4 to 1/2 inch deep, 2 inches apart, in rows that are 15 inches apart. It is critical that it be kept moist during germination until the plants are established. You can reduce watering once established. Harvesting can begin about 45 days after seeding. To harvest, locate the main stem and cut the stem just above other growth on the plant. This will stimulate the plant to continue producing. Cilantro should be fertilized twice during its growing season. Apply 1/2 teaspoon of 3400 or 2100 per square foot. Once temperatures exceed 85 degrees, the plant will bolt and produce coriander seeds, which can be harvested and stored for cooking or replanting in February. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or 686-4700 in Midland, or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, August 8th, 2020. Visit mrt.com. Sweet and smoky cheeseburgers have only 4 ingredients. The recipe is one that Matthew Wendell, who cooked for President George W. and Laura Bush at Camp David and at their ranch near Crawford, included in his book, Recipes from the President's Ranch, Food People Like to Eat. Photos by Kate Crater, Bloomberg. Bush's Chef Tells Stories offers recipes from the President's Ranch by Kate Crater, Bloomberg. Editor's note: as more people are working from home, Bloomberg Pursuits is running a weekly lunch break column that highlights a notable recipe from a favorite cookbook and the hack that makes it genius. A White House cookbook would be a book few people would want to cook from. The grandiose state dinner for Queen Elizabeth II in 2007 that ended with meringue and sponge sugar rose blossoms is not a meal anyone but a truly dedicated political junkie wants to recreate at home. This is not the cookbook that Matthew Wendell has written. He first met George and Laura Bush when he was a caterer waiter working Bush's 1995 Texas gubernatorial election parties. He stayed with the family when Bush became president in 2001, but he declined to cook at the White House. Mrs. Bush asked me if I wanted to. My response was, "The White House will be fussy dinners and receptions. My style is home cooking." Instead, he cooked for the Bushes at Camp David and the family's Prairie Chapel Ranch outside Crawford, where he also prepared food for Israel's former Prime Minister, Ariel Sharon, and Russian President Vladimir Putin when they visited. For Wendell, the highlights weren't dinners he created, but the breakfasts he'd bring to the guests who stayed over, such as the German Chancellor. Angela Merkel was visiting, and she and her husband were as casual as Mr. and Mrs. Bush were, he says. "I was out at the barbecue pit, smoking beef tenderloin over pecan wood. She was out for a walk and was very interested in how I was cooking the meat, how I built the fire. She said she cooked out a lot and wanted to know all about it." In Recipes from the President's Ranch, Food People Like to Eat, White House Historical Association, August 12th, $45, Wendell tells plenty of stories like this and offers up dozens of recipes, including the gooey cinnamon rolls that first captured the Bush's attention in Texas in the 1990s. One of the most compelling recipes in the book is the sweet and smoky cheeseburger. The four-ingredient recipe, if you don't count salt and pepper and oil for the grill, which I don't, inspired the phrase cheeseburger diplomacy because it was featured on the menu at the first official meeting between President Bush and former United Kingdom Prime Minister Gordon Brown at Camp David in July 2007. The recipe is also notable because it's made in a way that will be blasphemous for burger purists. Wendell mixes barbecue sauce into the ground meat instead of slathering it on the bun. Experts will tell you never to do this. Mixing anything into the ground meat, including a sweet vinegary sauce, steps on the taste of good quality ground meat. It also means there's a good chance you'll overwork the patty, making for a tough burger. So don't do that. Instead, carefully but thoroughly work in the barbecue sauce. The result is a fun surprise, a smoky hit when you bite into the burger. The sauce also helps keep the patty moist. If you can't bring yourself to mix in the sauce, spreading it on the bun is a tried and true formula. Laura Bush, who wrote the cookbook's foreword, has specific rules for assembling this cheeseburger, and they work to good effect. The sauce also helps keep the patty moist. If you can't bring yourself to mix in the sauce, spreading it on the bun is a tried and true formula. Laura Bush, who wrote the cookbook's foreword, has specific rules for assembling this cheeseburger, and they work to good effect. Use extra sharp cheddar to contrast the sweet barbecue sauce. Don't go too thick with your patty. Use a toasted whole wheat bun. And that's it. Add only the few other ingredients you demand on a burger. But go easy on the extras. According to Wendell and Mrs. Bush, it should be a cheeseburger, not a buffet. How to cook it. Sweet and smoky cheeseburgers. Serves four. 1 1/3 pound lean ground beef. 3 tablespoons favorite barbecue sauce, salt and freshly ground pepper, oil for brushing the grill, 4 slices extra sharp cheddar, 4 whole wheat buns, toasted. In a bowl, mix the ground beef with barbecue sauce and salt and pepper just until combined. Do not overmix. Divide the meat into 4 equal patties about 1/2 inch thick. Lightly brush a charcoal or gas grill with oil and heat to medium. Grill burgers for about 5 minutes until charred on the bottom. Flip burgers and cook for 1 minute more. Top each burger with cheese and cook just until melted, 1 to 2 minutes more, or until cooked to desired temperature. Serve on toasted buns with your favorite burger condiments. This recipe is adapted from Recipes from the President's Ranch.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, August 8th, 2020. MC awards 10 students with scholarships. Midland. 10 new Midland College students will receive the coveted Bill Pace Cogdell Scholarship, which pays for tuition, fees, books, and other scholastic expenses for courses at Midland College toward a certificate, associate degree, and or bachelor's degree. The scholarship will also pay for expenses should the students transfer to the University of Texas Permian Basin. Students selected for the scholarship are Olufa Foyin Salami, Lydia Adewal, Adriana Carrillo, Isabel Flores, Alejandra Franco, Carlos Hernandez, Luis Juarez, Magali Ortiz, Yaretzi El Quiroz, Annabel Rivas, and Nay Sung Young. All of these students live in Midland and either graduated from a Midland County High School or received a GED after taking GED prep classes through MC. The late Bill Pace Cogdell is the benefactor of this scholarship, Josie Samaguay, MC Outreach Coordinator, explained. Mr. Cogdell was a local businessman whose wish was to help residents of South and East Midland pursue a college education. To qualify, students must have received services at the Cogdell Learning Center through one of our various outreach programs, demonstrate financial need, and enroll in at least 6 hours or more of college coursework. Samaguay said that the 10 awardees underwent a rigorous selection process. This scholarship continues as long as the student is enrolled at Midland College and meets scholarship guidelines, Samaguay further explained. If the student transfers to UTPB immediately after attending Midland College, he or she will be eligible to continue receiving the Bill Pace Cogdell Scholarship. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, August 8th, 2020.
Simpson ventures near and far to sell comic books. The story was written by Royal McGregor. While working at a comic book store, Kenneth Simpson didn't like how the business presented its comic books. Simpson felt he could package and present comic books better, so he decided he would begin his own comic book store. Quote, "I didn't much care for how Hastings displayed comic books," Simpson said during a phone interview. "They had them in wire racks, and they were usually kind of beaten up. That was the beginning of me thinking I could treat comics better and give people a better product. Hastings was the last job that I've had. I left Hastings and started selling comics," end quote. Simpson started his own business, Kenny's Comics, but he didn't build or rent a brick-and-mortar location. Simpson focused his efforts on buying and selling comic books online. the 38-year-old from Hobbs, New Mexico, who has owned his comic book store for 10 years, said he brought thousands of comics to conventions in the area, which gave people the comic book store feel. Quote, "I've been doing conventions for about 7 years, so we've been kind of used to traveling on our weekends," Simpson said. "We've never had a conventional comic book store. We started online. That's what we've always concentrated on," end quote. To fill out his weekend schedule between conventions, Simpson made the choice to pack up his Ford Transit van and travel around Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Kansas to host Kenny's Comics Traveling Comic Book Store. Simpson has scheduled an event for 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday at the Holiday Inn Express and Suites located at 5321 JBS Parkway. He's also scheduled to travel to Lovington, New Mexico on August 15th. Both events are free to attend. Simpson said at his traveling comic book event he has roughly 100,000 comics on hand. He said if people are looking for a specific comic, they can also look on his online store. Quote, "It became more clear to me when I started doing this was how many places don't have a comic store available to them," Simpson said. "This idea has blossomed by taking our store to people who don't have access to comic books regularly," end quote. Simpson explained when he was growing up in Hobbs, he didn't expect to own a comic book store when he was older. Simpson was working at Hastings when he decided that he would be better served selling comic books on his own. Simpson explained that most of the cities that he travels to don't have comic book stores anymore. One of those cities that he frequents that doesn't have a comic book store is his hometown. Simpson said the comic book store in Hobbs closed when he was a teenager. Quote, "As much as I loved comics growing up, I would have never found myself actually selling them," Simpson said. "The only reason I got into it is I thought comic book readers would be better served by somebody else providing comics," end quote.
Virtual Art Gallery. Due to COVID-19 and social distancing guidelines, the 2020 Odessa Arts Community Gallery is being presented virtually. Rather than exhibit one piece by each artist, as OA would have done at City Hall, they will be highlighting three works by each chosen artist. Community members have the ability to vote on their favorite artists. Popular vote will play a role in deciding which work will be purchased by the City of Odessa to include in their permanent collection. Only one vote per person. To view the gallery, visit tinyurl.com/YXMTJOZW. All the artwork displayed in the gallery is for sale. Contact the artist directly for those who wish to purchase the artwork. For more information, call 337-1492. Email randy@odessaarts.org or visit odessaarts.org.
Thank you for joining us for this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Far West Texas News, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 8. Starting Monday on the Noon Book Hour, our summer book series continues with The Devil in the Junior League by Texas Tech graduate Linda Francis Lee. The Junior League of Willow Creek, Texas is tray exclusive. Undesirables need not apply. Frederica Mercedes Hildebrand Ware, Freddie to her friends, is a member beyond reproach until her life begins to unravel. when her husband betrays her, steals her money, and runs off to places unknown, it's something Freddie would prefer to keep under wraps. The last thing she needs is to become fodder for the Junior League gossip mill. And to make matters worse, there's only one person in town who stands a chance at helping her get revenge. Howard Grout, a tasteless, gold-chain-wearing lawyer who has bought his way into Freddie's Tony neighborhood. But there's a price. She has to get his tacky, 4-inch stiletto and pink spandex-wearing wife, Nikki, into the Junior League. The creme de la creme of Southern royalty should sit up and take notice. And hang on tight for this irresistible tale of getting in and getting even. The Devil in the Junior League, starting Monday at noon and Tuesday at 2 a.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 78 and clear. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-80s. Then, tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 90s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 80s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 7 a.m.
Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Melanie, and I'm reading The Big Bend Sentinel, August 12, 2020. Helicopter crash kills three Texas Park and Wildlife Department employees, by Abby Perot. Brewster County. Three Texas Park and Wildlife Department employees died in a helicopter crash on Saturday during an annual aerial survey of desert bighorn sheep over TPWD's Black Gap Wildlife Management Area. The pilot, a contractor, survived the crash. Among the victims were local wildlife biologist Dewey Stockbridge, fish and wildlife technician Brandon White, and state wildlife veterinarian Dr. Bob Dittmar. As news broke, state officials offered their condolences to the families, with Governor Greg Abbott calling it a tragic accident, and State Senator Pete Flores mourning the tragic deaths